This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Child here on the Civic Media Radio Network on the Maggie Dawn Show. Maggie's taking the day off, a much-deserved day off on this Friday after Election Day. I'm pleased, though, to have with me as my usual guest co-host, Angela Lang, the Executive Director of Block, Black Leaders Organizing for Communities. And you can join our conversation. We are going to do a more discussion about what the results of the elections mean. Just call 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Angela, how are you doing today?
Hanging in there. It's been a rough week, but glad to be here with you. And I think it'll be therapeutic conversation for a lot of us.
Well, we need to talk through this and get through this, and we will get through this.
Yeah.
We've all faced hard times in this country, and this is another one. I'm not going to say it's easy, though. I mean, AOC said the other day, not going to sugarcoat this. We have to be prepared for what might be coming next. And to me, that means especially being prepared to wrap around our arms around those who may suffer the most, the fastest. And that's undocumented workers in this country and their families, trans folks in this country and their families. It's a dark period. We got to face that, and we got to, help each other out in the process, especially right now. Me, my wife, our friends, we're all just trying to reach out for mutual support. I think mutual support is really important right now. Now, yeah. You head an organization. You have a lot of people on your staff, a lot of young people on your staff. They must have been devastated Tuesday night and Wednesday morning, as we all are. And what did you try to tell them? How did you try to comfort them?
I think I wanted to be honest with how I was feeling, kind of, providing that space and that example to feel vulnerable. One thing I love about Black folks is that we will always find ways to crack a joke here and there. There are some quite funny social media memes and whatnot. And I was like, I love this for us. We got to find some joy where we can. But also I was like, I'm here to talk if people need to process any feelings. I myself alternate between pure rage and numbness and disbelief. And also letting folks know that there's a lot of debrief calls right now. There's a lot of organizers trying to pull folks together. And it's also okay to skip those calls for now. One thing I was talking about with some colleagues of mine is that in 2016, there was this huge effort and push to get involved and to do something. And, groups like Indivisible had popped up and there's this groundswell of energy of wanting to plug in and get involved. And I'm not seeing that as much right now. Not saying it's not going to happen, but I think a lot of my organizer colleagues are kind of taking a bit of a beat. Instead of just trying to lead through this chaos, taking a moment to actually process how we feel. And I'm grateful for that. And I think, in the coming weeks, as people kind of wrap their heads around how they're feeling, that organizing will continue. I personally am filtering what calls I'm getting on, and I'm not getting on all of them because I want to just be a human and just feel my feelings for a second instead of being expected to lead right away. And that will happen, and there'll be a time for all of that. But I think it's also important for folks to know it's okay to just take a pause and to kind of soak in the moment and really love on community. I don't know how many folks I tried to reach out to, and I still have a list of folks to continue to reach out to and let them know that if there's any ways I and Block can be helpful and supportive, especially to our most marginalized folks, that we're there. And I think it's important for folks to hear and to know that people have community and they have folks that are able to support them and have their backs.
Yeah, I think that's where we are right now. I totally resist the impulse or the direction that we got to go get involved in the next campaign. We got to prepare for the state Supreme Court race in April. That's a killer for me. You know, I don't have an ounce of energy for that sucker right now. I will after the holidays, maybe, or maybe in a couple of weeks if I'm lucky. But right now, I think you're right. You know, you mentioned the word pause and community, and I want to just read this one paragraph from the essayist Terry Tempest Williams, who also uses the word pause and community here. Here's Terry Tempest Williams, tremendous essayist who used to write for me at the Progressive magazine. To feel the pain of now and not look away. To act not with the hope of moving forward, always forward, but to see the wisdom of stepping sideways as we create a different space, a more conscious space in the direction of pause, as you said, Angela, the direction of pause, where we can breathe and gather ourselves so we can gather others around us and create a community of care. I just love that.
Mm.
Community of care.
It's exactly what we need.
Yeah. But on the other emotional side of community of care is another word you used, which is rage. And I'm feeling the rage too. I'm just wondering who you're directing that rage at.
Honestly, I am trying to make sure that folks aren't pointing the fingers at other marginalized folks. And I know that there's a lot that people want to blame. And my rage is, first of all, Donald Trump himself and his supporters and what he's allowed to activate. And just to know that this week there are text messages being sent to folks talking about join the plantation, or high school boys taunting girls, say, your body, my choice. Ooh. That's where I'm directing my rage and my anger. And folks that supported him while also trying to hold a truth, and that there are going to be some marginalized folks that were misguided, that voted for him. We know mis and disinformation is rampant and civics is not taught, so people don't always know where to direct their anger. And I know that there are going to be folks that have supported him that realized very, very quickly how it impacts them, and that they are also a target. And I'm trying to make space that at some point, those folks will need to also be embraced because they will also be a target despite voting for him. And at some point, and maybe it's not now because we're feeling our feelings, what does it look like to bring those folks back in who may see the light and may regret showing up and voting for him? If right. There's folks that have undocumented or trans folks in their family and they overlook that to vote for them and something happens, I think people would realize very quickly the grave mistake that they made, and where is the space for them? And I'm not there yet to welcome them back, but I also think it's important for us not to say that's what you get, or, you know, I hope you get deported, or I hope your family gets deported. I've seen some of that. We can't have that. And so I want us to direct all of our rage at who actually deserves it and not each other.
I've got a little list myself, Angela Lang. I agree with you on Trump. Rupert Murdoch's pretty high on my list, too.
Yeah.
Mitch McConnell is very high on my list. He could have rid us of Donald Trump by simply summoning the courage of his own convictions the night of the second impeachment vote and tell other Republicans, like he was leaning, to vote to impeach this guy so he wouldn't have been able to convict this guy of impeachment, so he wouldn't have been able to run again. Biden, I have some anger toward Biden, too, I got to say, for not dropping out after the midterms and opening things up. And I got rage still at Merrick Garland for taking so long. There's some self-censorship. For taking so very long to get off the pot here and go after Donald Trump for the crimes he obviously committed in front of everybody's eyes and God's eyes on January 6th. Mm-hmm. And if he had done that, maybe we would have been in a different space right now. But, you know, I have great admiration, I have to say, for Kamala Harris. I thought she ran a tremendous campaign. I know people are nitpicking at her and say she made this one mistake. Lord knows who doesn't make a mistake, but she, or another mistake, but she handled herself tremendously, had great temperament and grace and intelligence and calmness and preparedness and discipline, all the things that the current guy doesn't have. And yeah, I thought she did beautifully. And she was handed a very hard deck with a very short time lag. Mm-hmm. And worked her heart out and gave a great concession speech on top of it. So I don't blame her. I resist the temptation to be a, you know, Monday morning quarterback. And engage. I find those discussions really kind of sterile and unproductive. We just got to figure out where to go from here. You can join this conversation at 855-752-4842 on the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm speaking here with Angela Lang of Block. She is my guest co-host as often as possible when we're co-hosting or guest hosting this show for Maggie. And it's always great to have you on. Tell our listeners what Block is about, Angela.
Yeah, so Block is a year-round civic engagement organization that started after the 2016 election. We officially launched in November of 2017. So we're actually turning seven in a few weeks, which is wild to think about. But for us,
congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. Wild to think about. It's been 7 years already. But we wanted to make sure we kind of disrupt some toxic organizing folks that kind of come in and parachute in and tell our communities what to do and then kind of leave. That doesn't really work. And so what does it look like to build an organization with folks from the community being trained in basic civics, having more meaningful conversations on doors, but also doing it on a year-round basis and not just showing up for an election. So while our team is taking some much needed time and rest, at some point, we're going to be back out on doors, engaging with folks and talking to people. And I can imagine one of the first things people want to talk about is how this election is making them feel. And it's important for us to continue to show up for the community no matter what.
Mm-hmm. And what were you and your team getting at the doors in the last few days leading up to the election?
There was a lot of excitement. There's a lot of enthusiasm. Did we encounter the occasional Trump supporter? Absolutely. But as the days went on, there were so many folks that had said, oh, I already early voted. And people were feeling very excited. And I think, you know, people were kind of fearful of what could happen. There was a mix of excitement and fear, I think, in the last few days. Mm-hmm.
And I was sharing in the excitement. I tried to banish the fear, and I wrote that there were, you know, 10 reasons why Kamala Harris is going to win. Shows what I know. Anyway, we will be back shortly here on the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild here subbing in, and I'm joined by Angela Lang of Block, and we'll be right back, and we hope you'll call and tell us how you're feeling right now. We got to wrestle with our feelings and move ahead. 855.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Hey, this is the Maggie Dawn Show. It's Matt Rothschild. I'm guest hosting for Maggie, who's off today. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. You can join our conversation, 855-752-4842. My guest co-host, as usual, is Angela Lang from Block, Black Leaders Organizing for Communities. And Angela, you were at a funeral today for a public official, which must have been hard. He was a friend of yours. I want to give you the opportunity to salute him.
Yeah, thank you for that. I met Jonathan Brostoff in either 2007, 2008. And I always kind of credit him with one of the first people to get me involved in politics. We met at UWM, connected through the ACLU and College Democrats. And I didn't really think of politics as something that little old me had access to or was for me. And we had connected and he followed up and Howard Dean was coming to speak on campus.
That takes you back.
Yeah, I'm dating myself a little bit here. But it was my first political rally or anything of the sort. And he was like, I have an extra ticket. And I felt so special and so honored. And I didn't know how these events go, right? You know? And I remember shortly after that too, he said, do you want to go party with the mayor? And I felt like this whole world was opening up. I had no idea it was Tom Barrett's reelection campaign, right? I thought it was like a private party type of thing. And I think what's special about Jonathan is his ability to bring folks together no matter what and make you feel seen. He is everyone's biggest cheerleader. And when he found something he was passionate about, he almost obsessed over it because he had such a strong moral compass on justice and protecting those that were the most vulnerable or the most marginalized. And he became a really good friend where he would send me pictures of his kids randomly, or we just crack jokes back and forth. And it's tragic to know that Milwaukee and Wisconsin lost a good man who was so selfless. And I think we're all wrestling with the fact of what does it look like? What could it have looked like if we were just kinder and nicer? And even when we disagreed, we wish we all could have shown up for him the way he showed up for us. And I think a lot of us are wrestling with that, and the whole Milwaukee is hurting, whether you knew him personally or not. All you have to do is just log on Facebook and social media and you see the tributes pouring out. And it was a beautiful, memorial. And it's just really hard to believe that this man so full of life and energy and love and compassion is no longer here. So we'll continue to honor his legacy. And know that his work and his passion and dedication, we all have a responsibility to carry that forward and also protect his family, his wife, Diana, his kids, his parents, who have also embraced all of his friends and hosted us at the, at their homes. And I think now, especially given the heaviness of this week, we all have a reality check to continue to check in on each other. And reach out. And I think we all have a different perspective of what showing up for our friends means right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's crucial. Jonathan Rostoff was a member of the State Assembly and Milwaukee City Council. He died by apparent suicide just a day or two before the election.
Monday. Yep.
Yeah, just crazy. And it flooded, the news flashed on Facebook for me and really took me aback. But we need to, and I didn't know him like you did, Angela. I only knew him in passing to say hi in the Capitol. But everything every encounter I had with him was very positive, and the tributes are extraordinary. So my heart goes out to his family as well. And, you know, a lot of people are suffering right now, and we need to recognize that. We need to recognize the mental health challenges that people have. The number to call on suicide prevention is 988. There's a good website, Prevent Suicide Wisconsin, that people can go to. But yeah, we need to wrap around our arms around each other right now. A lot of people have been struggling with mental health issues for a long time, and I gather Jonathan did as well. That's not uncommon. There is help out there. And yeah, we've got to show up for each other. That's the main point. And I also think, you know, taking time for nature is very healthy right now. And if we could just play a famous poem by Wendell Berry about the peace, called The Peace of Wild Things, which he wrote in the midst of the Vietnam War, I think it may give, this is him in his own voice, he's 90 years old right now, this Kentucky poet Wendell Berry, this may give people a sense of quietness.
Peace of wild things.
Beauty.
When despair for the world grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound, in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water, and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free.
Well, that's the beautiful baritone of Wendell Berry, great Kentucky essayist, poet, short story writer, novelist, tremendous environmentalist and activist who's been arrested several times for civil disobedience and is an inspiration to generations of people. But that is a poem that I go to in bad times like this.
It's beautiful.
And it is beautiful, isn't it? His voice is beautiful, too. And he's still working it. He's still doing it. And it gives, you know, and I, for people, you know, this weekend, it really would do you a whole world of good just to turn off the cable TV and go into the woods or go into the parks in Milwaukee or Madison or Door County at Peninsula State Park or Wyalusing State Park or Devil's Lake State Park or any of the county parks and city parks that there are and enjoy nature and clear your head and try to regain a sense of composure for what comes next. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm co-hosting with Angela Lang here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right.
Hey, Matt Rothschild here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Phone number to call to join this conversation about how we're all coping with the disastrous results. Let's not mince words, the disastrous results nationally on Tuesday. The phone number to call here, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Angela Lang, the executive director of Block, is my co-guest host today as Maggie's on vacation. And we have with us also on the show for this next half hour is Sam Liebert, who was the Wisconsin State Director of All Voting is Local Wisconsin. Sam, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing today, Matt?
Oh, I'm having a tough time, too. It's been a very emotional time. It's just hard. You know, we all threw ourselves in this battle. We all knew what the stakes were. We tried to tell everybody what the stakes were, and yet we weren't able to prevail. I mean, that happens. You don't win all the time, but I thought Kamala Harris put up a great fight. I thought organizers put up a great fight, and we just came up short. I think, the right-wing propaganda worked. The Trump 9-year propaganda campaign worked. The fact that people's standard of living went down during the Biden administration was the inescapable fact. And people were hurting and they wanted something else. But it's hard to take when those of us who've studied fascism understand what might be coming next and that people are going to suffer. So that's what makes it so brutal. I've lost the only election I've gotten right recently or in the last three decades was Michael Dukakis. I knew he was going to lose. But other than that, I was on air on the local Madison TV affiliate when Trump won the first time. And what a kick in the teeth that was. Or when Walker, I was on TV again when Walker won during the recall. And that was a kick in the teeth. I don't got a lot of TV. So, but we keep going. Tell me, you used to work, Sam, for Sherrod Brown, and I know he went down in a very sad defeat. Tell me about him, and what's your reaction about his defeat?
Yeah, it's very personal to me. 2006, I was in college. I was the chair of my college Democrats chapter. Actually, part of how I knew Jonathan Brostoff. We were both chairs of CDA chapters in the UW system. Mm-hmm. And I actually worked for Russ Feingold's political action committee at the time, took off a semester, and a lot of us thought Russ was going to run in 08. And so as part of his PAC staff, my time was in-kinded to Sherrod Brown's Senate race in 2006. He was still a congressman at the time. And he was actually up against the current Republican governor now, Mike DeWine. And as most of us remember, 06 was a huge wave year for Democrats. And, you know, to see Sherrod persevere time and time again, and, you know, what was a battleground state, which turned into a red state, and it turned into a, I don't even call it a red state, it's a rigged state. To see someone like him who really was a champion, is a champion of, you know, the working man and woman. And, you know, his, I still have it here somewhere, his, the pin that he wears, and he gave it to a lot of his staff. It's a canary in a cage to sort of harken back to those brave coal miners who would go down into the mines and, you know, when the canary would drop dead, you knew there was a gas leak or there was something wrong. And I definitely think right now that canary is dead. Oof. And something doesn't smell right in America. And, you know, it was tough, you know. Looks like Bob Casey is gone. Tester is gone. A lot of these 2006 senators, you know, they held out as long as they could. But it seems like this whatever's going on right now, it wasn't enough. But, you know, in Wisconsin, Tammy, who's been a champion of democracy, it looks like she held on by a few thousand votes, but it looks like she's going back.
Yeah, that was a real bright light amid the darkness. And then we gained ground in the state legislature, and we're going to be talking with Representative Hong in the next half hour about what that all means and the hopefulness that that brings. But yeah, with the Senate gone, it looks like the House of Representatives gone, and the U.S. Supreme Court gone, and the White House gone. It's just like there are no checks, there are no balances, and we're just going to have to figure out how we regroup. But right now, it's more of a time for just taking a breath, taking a pause, as Angela said in the last little bit, and trying to help each other. You know, recover. Really, it's, we need some recovery time.
Yeah.
We absolutely do. And before we put ourselves into what's next, I can't deal with what's next because I'm still dealing with what happened. Mm-hmm. And tell us a little bit about your organization, Sam. All Voting is Local, the Wisconsin chapter.
Yeah, absolutely. So All Voting is Local is a national organization. We are headquartered in D.C., but we're in 8 states across the country, obviously Wisconsin being one of them. We're in Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Florida, Georgia, Arizona, and Nevada. And really our mission is to fight voter suppression and to advance pro-voter policies at the state and local level. With an emphasis ensuring that all Americans, particularly our brown, black, Native American, and other historically marginalized communities, have their voices heard, and that every vote is, every ballot is counted. And so sort of what's, you know, implied in our name, All Voting is Local, is we work with local election officials. So in Wisconsin, that's municipal clerks. I used to be one for about 5.5, 6 years before joining All Voting Local. And our clerks in Wisconsin really have a lot of autonomy and independence in the way that they run their elections at the local level. You know, we see places like Milwaukee and Madison who really go above and beyond, offering options for voting right, ballot drop boxes, lots of in-person absentee voting hours. And then we have communities like Brookfield or the entire county of Dodge, where we have sort of these bad faith actors like sheriffs and mayors who are trying to blur the lines and get in the lane of election administration to lower voter turnout because they think it'll perhaps help their party or their political candidate of choice. And so, you know, no matter how
this was, this was by not putting out drop boxes.
Not putting out drop boxes. You know, there was that very sort of infamous scene now where President Trump was in Dodge County and the sheriff there, Dale Schmidt, said, you know, proudly said, you know, you can be rest assured, Mr. President, that there's no drop boxes in Dodge County. And then what's great is the next day, six of the nine cities that are in Dodge County actually said, well, we actually are using drop boxes and they're accessible. And so to see clerks really sort of assert themselves, stand up for themselves and push back on the disinformation and honestly the political pressure that was out there is incredibly heartening to see. And, you know, in a lot of cases too, threats of intimidation have increased against our clerks across the state. In the country, and here in Wisconsin especially, 95% or more of our clerks are also women. And so there's also a dark taint of sexism and misogyny baked into that intimidation as well. And so hopefully going into this new year, this new session, with hopefully more pro-democracy candidates in the legislature and working with the governor, we can finally get some bills passed to increase protections for our clerks. And also other things to streamline election administration that should seem pretty common sense on face value.
Sam, you mentioned misogyny. I want to throw this open both to you and Angela. What extent do you think misogyny and racism played their parts in the defeat of Kamala Harris?
Mm-hmm. I'll defer to Angela.
Honestly, I think it's a big part of it. And as a Black woman, it's hard not to be frustrated. And, you know, despite whatever criticisms people may have had about Kamala or her policies or her stances, you can't deny the fact that she was more qualified than Trump. Case in point, period. Right. This man got on stage and said, I had concepts of plants. Mm-hmm. He said they're eating dogs and cats. Right. The most ridiculous things that we had heard. But yet it still wasn't good enough. Well, I don't like her laugh. Oh, she rubs me the wrong way. Just these excuses that people made or people saying, oh, I don't think that other leaders would take her seriously as a woman in terms of foreign policy. Some of the people that were saying that, I'm like, when did you ever care about foreign policy, right? Like these are things that I think people were trying to deflect on instead of not saying the actual thing. And it's frustrating. I think a lot of Black women in leadership feel very frustrated to know that yet again, there is this ceiling that we are not allowed to break at this point. And to know, again, despite some stances or any disagreements folks may have had, she was seen as one that just wasn't as qualified. And I think a bunch of folks can relate to that. And it's very disheartening. And it's hard to think about as a country that we have not broken that glass ceiling yet. And we thought that we were going to, and it came so close to. And so I think it's frustrating to know just how deep that the sexism and misogyny ran a part of this campaign or this election, I should say.
Sam?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I agree with Angela. I've got three kids. Two of them are girls, beautiful brown girls. I thought this was the time, you know, to let them know they could be what they want to be, and to know that part of this country hates them because they're because they're a girl, because they're that brown skin, and you know, there's a lot of disappointment, a lot of heartbreak. We've been here before, and we are more prepared this time. The states are more prepared. Wisconsin's more prepared. You know, we don't have a trifecta government controlled by election deniers. I mean, I think J.B. Pritzker in Illinois pretty much, you know, yesterday or today said, hey, if you're coming for my people, you got to come through me. Mm-hmm. And there's also some some Republicans of moral clarity that will also, I think, stand up to some of the things that could be coming our way, whether it's mass deportations or using the military or political structure against political enemies.
I hope you're right about that, Sam, but I hope the media doesn't cave. We already saw the Washington Post cave in the most cowardly way.
Yeah.
And then I'm listening to NPR yesterday, and they talk about the possibility that the military might be patrolling our streets or arresting people during demonstrations. And the NPR announcer said this would be an unusual use of the military. Not only unusual, but outrageous and fascistic use of the military. So it's, if they're already using these ridiculous words to describe what's actually happening. I mean, you're not supposed to give in prematurely. That's right. That's chapter one of Timothy Snyder's book, on tyranny. And then we see the Washington Post caving already. Then we see this NPR reporter caving into it. I mean, for me, it's not a good sign. But I appreciate the tenderness of this moment. And I think we should talk a little bit more maybe about that and how we get through it. When we come back here on the Maggie Dawn Show, you're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. You can call and join the conversation, 855-752-4842. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm the former editor and publisher of The Progressive Magazine. I'm joined by Angela Lang and Sam Liebert, and we'll pick up this conversation in just a minute.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, Matt Rothschild with you this afternoon on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network all across the great state of Wisconsin. I'm joined by my guest co-host, Angela Lang, as usual. And it's great to have Angela Lang a block with us, and Sam Liebert, the state director of All Voting is Local for Wisconsin. We have a few callers, though, so I think we're going to take a couple callers, and we'll all try to respond in our own ways. Who do we have first, Cardi?
We have Susan from McFarland. One second.
All right. So we'll be hearing from Susan from McFarland. I live just about 3 miles from McFarland. Hey, Susan, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Okay. Well, what's on my mind is I was struck this morning. I was listening to the Stephanie Miller Show, and Frangela were on this morning, and they just indicated how awful this election was because, for one thing, there were 10 abortion ballots, and they won in 7 states. So it was like women voted for themselves in these states to protect their health care. But women in other states did not vote to protect everyone. And it's a sad commentary in our society because she, as they mentioned, is that I am a privileged white woman, but I have really feel sad that people are not voting for other people's interests. And I think that's what happened in this election a lot, is that, they put the blame game on. And she said, they said black women show up, they ask us to show up, we do it over and over again. And then they blame black men or other people. But really, it's the white women who did not show up to vote. And that for Kamala Harris. And that, to me, is sad. And that was their opinion, and I kind of agree with that. So your thoughts?
Well, thank you, Susan from McFarland, and I live right near there. So Look, white women, again, this is the third time that white women have voted by more than 50% for Donald Trump. I mean, it's 53%, 52%, 53%. And yeah, we need to work with white men and white women, those who are white, and try to bring our folks around rather than saying, oh my God, you know, a tiny percentage of black men this time around didn't go for Kamala Harris the way they went for Biden, or Latino men surprisingly went for Trump, which is kind of surprising. But look, we got our own work to do. Anyway, that's how I look at it. I'm interested to hear what Angela or Sam has to say.
I agree
with you. I made a status about this. I tweeted it as well, because there's always the question, Angela, what about black voters? Every single time. And I was short and to the point. I was like, one, it's not black people's fault. Two, Milwaukee turned out, and I'm always going to be proud of Milwaukee. And three, let's talk to the white women. Because even when you look at the numbers, looking at the numbers right now, 21% of black women, or black men specifically, voted for Trump. 21% of black men. While that number is way too high, in my personal opinion, that number is way lower than 53%. But yet, there's always the question to us. And I feel like that further allows, one, to deflect blame. And two, it allows white women specifically to avoid any type of responsibility if you just deflect blame onto another community of color. And I've said this time and time again, and I might have said it on the show at some point, is that black women consistently show up for a democracy that doesn't show up for us. Mm-hmm. And I've said that long before Tuesday, and it rings, I think, even more true now than any other time that I said it.
You know, it's so true. You know, black women vote for Democrats at a higher percentage than any other demographic group. Black men are the second group that votes the most for Democrats. And the third group is Jews. Those are the people who vote overwhelmingly for Democrats time and time again. Sam Liebert, what's your reaction to Susan's call, or to this, you know, blaming, you know, black men for not turning out as high percentage as they did last time?
I mean, I think I'll just speak as a black man, and not as, you know, whatever my title says below my name right now with my organization. But, you know, yeah, I mean, when the blame game starts happening, I feel like black men, people of color, are always the first to get the finger pointed at them. And I would also point out that, you know, black folks are not a monolith. We are human beings like anyone else, and there are different things that motivate us. And, you know, this was a weird election, right? I think for the first time since 1992, the white electorate actually grew. And so I think there's something to be said there. I mean, I think all of this is really intertwined to, you know, we're going to be a majority-minority nation very soon. And the election deniers and the racism and the MAGA movement is all part of sort of the last dying gasps of the white majority trying to rig the elections, rig the mechanisms that oversee elections and how power is distributed, gerrymandering, for example, to maintain control as long as possible. And so I think those are the things that we need to focus on, and also protecting those institutions that keep us safe.
Hmm. Sam Liebert is the state director of All Voting is Local here in Wisconsin, and was my colleague in the Wisconsin Voting Rights Coalition for many years when I was at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Sam, thanks for being our guest today on the Maggie Dawn Show, and we'll be right back after the top of the hour with Representative Francesca Hong. So stay tuned.
The national news cycle never stops. but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.